Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 6 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for the program. We have a really fun interview coming up with former Major League outfielder Jim Gosker. Jim was faced Satchel Paige, was coached by Ted Williams, and was teammates with Tom Seaver and Nolan Ryan and Reggie Jackson, among others. So we talk all about his baseball career and about his dealings with autograph requests. So hopefully you enjoy our interview. That'll coming up at the soon. I just want to remind everyone, if you have any questions, comments, feedbacks, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, my email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. The podcast is available everywhere podcasts are available, including your Alexa device. If you have Alexa, all you have to do is say, "Alexa, play TTM Cast podcast," and Alexa does all the work for you. So please enjoy the show. Let people know about the show. Spread the word about the show. We're getting new listeners every day. I really appreciate the feedback from our from the listeners, and hopefully we can get more listeners to tune into the program and download it. So thank you. Also, we are on Sports Card Forum. We have a forum on Sports Card Forum. So if you want to talk about TTM Cast on Sports Card Forum, please do so. And as always, Sports Card Forum is a sponsor of the show. So we highly recommend you go checking Sports Card Forum out, sportscardforum.com. There's no cost to use the site. So please check it out. And now on to Baker's Dozen, which is our weekly dump. Brain dump of what's going on in the hobby and the world of sports and baseball and celebrity over the last week. Just a quick heads up, our next show will be next week, March 1st. I've been really recording a lot of interviews lately, so we're going to be going weekly through all the way through March and probably into April. I've got a couple people that I'm planning on interview that I haven't interviewed yet. I've had a lot of interviews. The next 4 or 5 weeks is going to be all baseball related. We've got all sorts of former major leaguers that I've talked to, so I won't let the cat out of the bag, but we do have some great interviews that I've already conducted, and hopefully you'll enjoy those. Heading out to, well, we got a big show here locally in Wilmington, Massachusetts. The Rich Altman Show is coming April 17th to the 19th. Guests have been announced: Pete Rose and Eckersley and Bill Mueller and a bunch of other Red Sox and a couple Bruins, I think. So looking forward to attending that show. I think I'm going to try to get Rose and Eckersley autographs. I need them both for my 1978 top set. So looking forward to that, and we will report more on that show as more details become available. This Thursday, Topps Heritage 2020 edition is being released. It looks like the 1971 Topps set in terms of design, and really looking forward to that. It's someone with a black border. So the Topps Heritage set 2020 first set is being released this coming up week, so hopefully you will pick up a box or a blaster pack. So I'm certainly going to get a box of those. I really enjoy those show. Those cards, they are great for sending out for TTM. A couple TTM things and sports things. I noticed that people are getting some responses from the Atlanta Braves. They have a new spring training site this year. They're no longer at Disney, so they're accepting requests and sending, and a few people have actually gotten responses. So spring training responses are filtering in from the Braves, the Atlanta Braves, and I've seen a few other spring training responses, requests getting sent back. I only sent out a couple this year. I got a lot last year, so I didn't send out much spring training this year. You know, I'm collecting the 78 top set, so there's not really many people on that set that I need. And I'm saving my stamps for those in my game day set. So I didn't do a lot of spring. I didn't do much spring training this year, but I do have 15 TTMs going out this week and another two, seven that I'm waiting on for cards that I purchased on eBay this week. So hopefully I've been TTMing this weekend, hanging around TTMing. The wife went away with her sisters and cousins and to have a little girls' weekend. So me and my son are here, I was doing TTM all day, all weekend, actually. So it was fun TTM weekend with no honeydew. So enjoying that. And lastly, you know, Sports Collectors Digest has a great article on Paul, I forget his last name, I'm sorry, I remember, Jones, I think. Yeah, Paul Jones, and he's a card collector who has collected up to 2.8 million cards. That's, yes, million cards. And he is in the Guinness Book of World Records as having the most cards for an individual. So, Paul Jones has, they do a nice feature article on him, and Paul actually has over 98,000 autograph cards. Most of them he's got in person, but that's quite a collection. So, read the article. It's very interesting. Paul is shooting for 3 million cards and 100,000 autographs. So, kind of jealous that Paul's got such a great collection, but, you know, it's a fine article in Sports Collectors Digest, so please check it out. And now for our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp obviously had passed away a couple years ago, and I had sent him a TTM request through the mail for an autograph, not realizing he had passed away. So I dedicate this segment every week to Mr. Vern Rapp so that fellow collectors like yourself do not send off TTM requests to people that have passed away. It's very embarrassing, and I was very embarrassed by sending out the TTM request to Mr. Rapp, and I do this as a service to my fellow collectors. So we've lost just one person in sports this week and a couple of people in the entertainment industry. Former Toronto Blue Jays infielder, shortstop Tony Fernandez passed away. He was 57. He had kidney disease, and he was sick for a little while, so we're sorry for your loss. Couple people in entertainment. Janet Dubois, who played Wilona on The Good Times in the 70s, and actually wrote the Jeffersons theme song, which I didn't realize. She was 74. And Kelly Nakahara, who was played Nurse Kelly on MASH in the 70s and early 80s. She passed away. She had cancer. She was 72. So we lost a couple of people in Hollywood celebrities, and we lost Tony Fernandez. So condolences to their family, and sorry for your loss. So, returns have really been kind of coming in. I've been getting a couple a day, which is really nice. As I sent a couple weeks ago, I sent out a bunch, and they're starting to kind of roll in, which is nice. So let me run down some of the returns that I got this past week. I got Daron Cherry for my 1992 game day set. This one went out a while ago, but it's a great signature. He signed in Sharpie on the big card with his number 20, so very happy to get that. I got Haven Moses from the Denver Broncos, signed a great Topps card for me. Nice blue ink again with his number, and thrilled to get that to my collection. That only took like a week or two. Haven's a great signer through the mail, and he didn't disappoint. A lot of baseball. I've been sent out a lot of baseball and some vintage stuff. So I got 1967 Rick Reinhart, who was the bonus baby for the Angels. He signed in pen, and happy to get that. I got a 1964 Lou Krause, who was a pitcher for the Kansas City Athletics and the Milwaukee Brewers and the Boston Red Sox. Now, by the time he was with the Red Sox, I believe he was a reliever in the 70s, late, early 70s. But Lou signed the 1964 Topps card for me. Again, all these are like less than 2 weeks, except for this one. I got Kafa Kvalala there from the Texas Rangers. Sorry, Ian. I'm not very good with names sometimes. On the Topps Heritage card, and it took a year. I sent it to him last spring training and it just came in the other day. I got a bunch of cards from 1973 Topps. I collected the set, so I had a lot of doubles. So I've been sending out some of my 73 doubles to get autographed. I got Del Unser from the Cleveland Indians, Dave Duncan from the Oakland A's, Dave Justy from the Pittsburgh Pirates, John Matlack from the New York Mets, Dalton Jones, who plays for the Red Sox, but this is on a Rangers card, and Bill Parsons, who was a pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. All those took less than 2 weeks, and they all are 1973 Tops. And lastly, I got three cards for my 1978 set. I got Jim Tyrone, it took about a year. He played for the Oakland A's, was an outfielder, and has kind of cool card. Hopefully you can go check it out. The card is on Instagram. My Instagram is TTMcast. I'm at Instagram at TTMcast. So you can check out all these cards on TTMcast. I got Brooks Robinson on his record breaker. This is Brooks' last card. He signed it a nice blue Sharpie with a Hall of Fame, 1983. And that one took maybe 3 weeks. And then lastly, I got the Ken Holtzman scribble. We posted that yesterday on Facebook and on Instagram. Ken Holtzman only scribbles his name on a card for TTM requests. He does sign legibly, I guess, in person if you're paying. But this is the dreaded Ken Holtzman scribble. When 1978 Topps card, he was in a Yankee uniform with hands on his knees in Yankee Stadium, and he scribbled whatever his signature is. Very disappointing on the card, but I needed it for my 1978 set. Well, and that wraps up returns for today. And our last segment, as always, is our interview. And I had a fantastic interview with former Major League outfielder Jim Gosker. I thank Jim for joining the program. Jim came my way through a relationship with Sean Hearn, who I interviewed prior. And he recommended me talking to Jim. He hooked us up, and I thank Sean for introducing us. And Jim was a great interview and really talked extensively about his career and about signing autographs and dealing with fans. So hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTMcast hotline from his home in Michigan is former Major League outfielder and first baseman, Mr. Jim Gosker. Mr. Gosker, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm excited about being on your program. I've always enjoyed being on with the talk show host and discussing a little baseball.
Well, I love baseball. It's kind of a perfect hot stove. We're getting ready for spring training soon, and it's nice to start thinking about baseball, especially after all the bad things the negative things that have happened this past couple weeks with the sign stealing and firing of managers and such. So it's nice to talk about the good old days, if you will, and to reminisce.
Well, you know, when I played back in the 60s, we were in a mood where if you could get the signs, you know, some guys wanted signs all the time. Some guys wanted when they were hitting. Others didn't. I played with a couple managers that were very good at getting signs. One in particular was Gene Mauch with Montreal when I was up there. And I always wanted the fastball if they knew it was coming. You know,
sure.
I think everybody wants to know when a pitch is coming, and then they can gear for it. But we had a situation in Cincinnati, and Clottinger is pitching for Cincinnati, and Ron Fairley was at the plate, and Ron did not want the signals. He didn't want it. Well, anyway, Mauch would whistle on a fastball. Well, Clottinger caught wind of it, and he drilled fairly right in the side of the head. And boy,
wow.
It was bad. By the time we got out there, his jaw was just swollen. And Clottinger is hollering at Mock, "Don't you ever call my signal." And Mock wanted to fight him. I said, "Skip, I don't think you want to go out there." I says, "He's a big man."
That's right. He's a big guy.
Yeah. And I said, "You know, it's best that you don't go out there." But that was one situation, and I never forget it. You know, it scared me. You know, but Mock was good at what he did, you know, as far as getting the signal. But like I say, this has been going on for years. It's got more technical now, you know.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
With the TV and the instant replay and, you know, all of that stuff's going on. It's become very technical now. It's not like it was. Andy, when I played, if you stood on second base and were given the signals, the next time you got come up, you were going to get hit. I mean, that's just the way it was back then. And then it's done. You know,
right.
We had a situation where we were playing the Chicago Cubs, and Mark did not like, I think, I don't know whether it was Stanky or DeRosa, one of them was coaching the Cubs. Well, we have a pregame meeting before the game, and Mark looks at Wrinkle, who's our big sir. He was about 6'4", you know, a big man. He says, "I want you to hit Santo." And we're all looking at him and saying, "Why do you want to hit Santo?" And Mark says, "If you don't hit him, it costs you $500. And I'm thinking, boy, this is nuts. So we go out and play. And I hadn't played in about 2 weeks, but he has me leading off. Well, we're facing, what the heck was the kid's name with Chicago? He was from Windsor. Nice guy. But anyway, I get up there. The heck was his name? I'm trying to think of his good friend of mine. Well, anyway,
okay.
We're playing. I lead off. I get a base hit. Well, they come up to bat. Fano's hitting fourth. So we get them out, 1-2-3. Fano comes up starting second inning. Wrinkle drills him. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know. So both benches emptied, so we go back. So we go through the whole lineup. Nobody on our team gets a hit. I was the only one. So I come up in the fourth inning, and I get drilled right in the side.
Oh.
So I get down to first base, and I said, Ernie Banks. I said, "Ernie, for God's sakes, I haven't played in 2 weeks." He said, "A good day for two, isn't it, Jimmy?" And I said, "No, not really." So I get all the way around the third, and I come in, and the pitcher is standing there, and he said, "Jimmy, you all right?" I said, "Fergie," it was Ferguson Jenkins. I said, "Fergie, okay. You know, I hadn't been to bat in 2 weeks." I said, "Why hit me?" He says, "Because you're the only one that got a hit. It's retaliation for you guys hitting Santo." And he said, "If I don't do it, it's 500. He said, "That's why I threw it to your leg." I said, "Well, thanks very much."
Yeah, you know, thank you.
But I mean, stuff like that went on. But if you got hit, or you hit one of the other players, somebody in your team is going to get hit, and then we're done. You know, we're done with it. You know, but nowadays these kids is completely different. and everything else. But.
And I think the players association, they're all friends, and it's kind of, you know, it's not us against them anymore. It's just we're all in it together type thing.
Well, it's all about money, you know.
Yep, that's
what it amounts to. You know, these kids nowadays, especially the pitchers, you know, the way that these coaches and managers pamper the pitchers is unbelievable. I played in Ike DeLock, who was a little older than I was, but when we went to Kansas City for a reunion, he's sitting there, and I asked him, I said, "What's his pitch count?" He said, "Jimmy," he said, "we didn't have a pitch count." He says, "You either pitch 7 innings, or you're going back to the minor leagues if you're a starting pitcher." That's the way it was. They don't have pitch counts. I see on TV now, I watch these games, the Tiger games, and the guy pitches 15 pitches. He says, "Oh, my God, he can't pitch tomorrow." You know, he's a good pitcher. I says, "Well, really?"
Yeah.
I says, "If he was my playing for me, he'd be pitching every day, for God's sakes." You know, I mean, they pamper him, which I don't know whether that's good or not. You know, it's just completely different.
I think it comes back to the money again. They have so much money.
Well, it does. Yeah. But,
so,
you know, Jeff, I had 13 great years. I mean, I was fortunate I signed with the Red Sox. My dad, you know, I'll tell you a story about that, how that happened. I was playing semi-pro ball here. I just out of high school. And a couple of scouts come and watch, and one from Cleveland and one from the Chicago Cubs. Well, the Chicago Cub guy, older gentleman, came in, very nice man. And he discussed, you know, what he would do and the whole thing. And my dad said, okay, we'll you know, we have somebody else coming in. Well, this guy from Cleveland come in. And he comes in and he sits down and he's one of these real smart cats, you know, and he says, you know, he says, Mr. Gaskery says, we don't think your kid can make the big leagues, but we'll give him a chance to play. My dad, I never forget it, grabbed him right by the back of the collar and said, get the hell out of this house. He says, my son can work for the city and make more money than you're offering. So that was a situation that was scary. Well, then this my grandfather knew this scout in Detroit, this Maurice DeLue, very nice man. He came in and we talked. He watched me play a couple of games and he said, this is what we can offer. Well, he offered me a progressive bonus, whereas if I start out in the one class, as I move up, I get money. Well, fortunately, after my first year, I was supposed to go to Pocatello, Idaho, but I ended up going to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which was a step up. At that time, Pocatello was Class C, and then I was up to Class B. But they had 7 minor league affiliations in the you know, as far as you had the rookie league, A-ball, Class A, Class B, Class C, Class D. They had them all.
Now, this was with the Tigers?
Yeah. Well, this is when I was with Boston,
you signed with the Red Sox.
Yeah. And so my second year, because I had a good year, they had to protect me. So they put me on the major league roster. Well, I was in the major leagues in 1963 for the whole year, only batted 16 times.
Wow.
But I got all that bonus from the time that I signed until going to the major leagues, because every step up they would give you a bonus. So I made some money on that, you know, and I was fortunate to sit in the big leagues in 63. I got a year in the pension plan. And I said, you know, it was a good thing one way, but it was a bad thing the other, because I didn't play too much. But I did get my first hit here in Detroit against Frank Larry when I was with the Red Sox. And I had all my family there, and it was a treat. It was a treat.
Did you get the ball?
Oh, yeah, I got the ball. And you know the funny thing, Jeff, the greatest thing about the whole thing, I was excited when I was at first base. I mean, thoroughly excited. And I look out at Frank Larry, and he looked at me, and he tipped his hat. And I thought, what a class act. You know, he knew it was my first hit. And, I mean, it's something that stuck in my mind. And I always, you know, when I was a kid, we'd go down and watch the Tigers. My dad would take me down there when Boston was in, and Frank Larry was pitching, and he was an idol to me. You know, he was and to get a hit off him, and for him to tip his hat, one of the greatest thrills of my life. You know?
How long did you have to wait before you got your first hit?
Oh, I was there the whole year, and I think we came into Detroit the second time. It was probably mid-July.
Okay, so you were getting really a graduate course on the bench, right?
I'll tell you what, I learned an awful lot. And Billy Mombuquette was my roommate on the road, and he taught me so much. First day we were out on the road, he says, come on, we're going to the going shopping. I said, what do you mean we're going shopping? He says, come on. So we went to this men's store, and he buys 8 pair of black socks. And he threw them at me. I said, what's this? He says, we don't wear white socks in the big leagues. I says, okay. But, you know, these stories, Jeff, you remember. And I mean, it's a lifetime of memories. And, I mean, I had so many of them. You know, I was the last person to ever face Satchel Paige. Nobody knows that. I mean, it's a trivia question.
Did he get you out?
Huh?
Did he get you out?
Oh, yeah, we only had, well, we were in, I was 65. I come up with Boston, and I come up out of Toronto, and I played the last 81 games. So we come into Kansas City, and as a publicity stunt, Finley had Satchel Paige come in and throw three innings. And when we got to the ballpark, he looked down on the right field bullpen, and there's Satchel in a chair with a nurse behind him. He looked like Whistler's mother, for God's sake.
Now, how old was he?
He was 58 at that
58,
time.
58, okay.
And he came in and pitched three innings against us. I was a leadoff hitter. We got one hit. Yastrzemski was the only man that got a hit off of him. And he was impressive because everything he threw was knee high. You know, he never got above the belt. And it was amazing. But I was the last man, and I grounded out, and I'm running back the dugout, and he was walking by me. He said, "Good luck, young man." And I thought, wow, you know, what tribute. But, I mean, these memories, you know, you can't take them away from me. And I think about this all the time, and I can still remember the exact day and exactly what had happened that day. I mean, it's...
Now, you have an amazing career in terms of the people that you touched and the people that you saw. I mean, was Ted Williams involved in coaching you when you first came up?
Ted Williams was our batting instructor. When I first went to spring training in 62, he was our hitting instructor in spring training. And my gosh, Jeff, you know, he'd take you in the batting cage and you'd go in there and swing and swing and swing. And he'd stand there and look at you and never say a word. But when you come out, he'd say, "Good job." He said, "Let's try this." Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you being lefty, he must have really kind of gravitated
to
being a young kid and an outfielder.
He was an absolute prince, you know. He was funny, you know. He said, "Don't ever talk to the damn reporters. Don't talk to the reporters." Okay, Mr. Williams. But he would hit fly balls, you know, to us in the outfield. He'd say, "Here, catch this, meat." Everybody was meat to him. But what a great man he was. Oh my gosh, you know, I had a picture taken with him. The only thing I regret is I didn't have him sign the picture. I got the picture here with him, and it's on my Facebook. But I said I've never had him sign it, and I wish I would have, because he was a class act.
With Yastrzemski when he was a youngster. Did you see the talent in him?
Had Yastrzemski when I come up. Yastrzemski was in left. When I come up in 65. It was a unique situation. Well, not really unique, but Gary Geiger had broke his ankle, and Lenny Green had broke his wrist in the same week. Well, I'm playing in Toronto, which is only 150 miles from here, and I was playing AAA for Dick Williams, and I got a call to come up. And when I come up, I had Yastrzemski was in left, and Conigliaro was in right. Lou Clinton was in right once in a while, but mostly it was Tony and Carl. So I had the opportunity to play with two of the best, you know.
Yep.
And I mean, it was a thrill for me. I just loved Fenway Park. There was just something about the park. That and the Chicago Cubs Stadium, those two places really stood out because of the Alpine Stadium.
You know, now, did you pepper the Green Monster?
Did I?
Lefty?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hit one off Sturdivant. Nick Sturdivant we were playing, and I hit one up in a net up there. And that was a big thrill, you know.
Now, you played a role in the 67 Red Sox because you got traded for two important cogs.
You know, it was funny. I'm up there in 66, and the owner, or 65, I come back. They call me up. They want to come. I won the Rookie of the Year for the Red Sox. So they had me up there in January, my wife and I. And the owner had said then, says, you know, he's an untouchable. Well, when they say that, that's kind of scary. Well, come trading deadline, we were playing in Cleveland. And it was right around the 15th of June. And I think June something was a trading deadline, June 15th. So anyway, I'm playing in Cleveland, and I have friends of mine are there. My little league coach was there. After the game, I go back to the hotel, and he calls me up. He said, "You just been traded." I said, "What?" He said, "You just been traded to Kansas City." I said, "Well, nobody's told me." He says, "Well, you've been traded." And to this day, Billy Herman never did tell me that I was traded.
That's how you found out from your friend.
I was told by the traveling secretary that I was traded. So then I go out to Kansas City. Alvin Dark, who I played for, the best manager I ever played for. No question. He was the best I ever played for. I had called him up from Cleveland, and I said, "Skip, I got to go back to Boston and get my stuff." He says, "Well, you got to be out here tomorrow because you're going to play center field." I said, "Okay."
Yeah.
But when I got out there, I got traded for Tarbell, Wyatt, Roland Sheldon, and one other person. There was myself, I think, and Ken Sanders or Danny McGinn. One of us got traded. Yeah, the two of us went out for four of them. And the ironic thing is that they win the pennant the next year. I said, "Well, you know." But anyway, you know, it was an experience. And when I went out with Kansas City, Dark called me aside. He says, "Here's what we're going to do." He says, "You're going to play against right-handers. Joe Knox is going to play against left-handers." He says, "Are you okay with that?" I said, "Skip, you're the coach. You know, whatever you want, it's fine with me." But he was classy, you know, and everybody loved Alvin Dark for some reason. I mean, he treated the players like human beings, not like animals, you know, or like robots. And he would always come down. He would say to me he told me one time, he says, "I got to bring this phenom up." He says, "I got to sit you for a game." And I says, "Oh, who's that?" He says, "Reggie Jackson." I said, "Okay." You know, at the time, Reggie was in double-A ball, and Dark says, "He's only going to be here for one game. I guarantee you that." I said, "Okay, Skip, whatever you want to do." He says, "Well," he says, "I just wanted to let you know." But he would come down to me during the game and say, "Hey, what do you think we should do in this situation?" And I looked at him and said, "Skip, you're the manager." He said, "Well, give me your opinion." I mean, that's the way he was. That's the way he was with all his players. You know, they just loved him. And,
yeah,
I was lucky.
You had the benefit of playing with the last Kansas City A's team, right? And the first Oakland A's team.
Yeah, we went out to Oakland. We were in care of the city, and then they moved us out there. Bob Kennedy, he fired Dark, and Bob Kennedy became the manager. And he's our manager in Oakland. I didn't care for Oakland. I didn't like it out there.
You didn't like it out there?
It's too fast. You know, I stayed out there and worked public relations for the ball club. Of course, they were modeling these three different uniforms that we had, Pacific Ocean blue and green and white, and the white shoes and the whole bit, which was,
now,
was fun.
Finley was the owner then? Was Finley the owner then?
Huh?
Was Charles Finley the owner then? Was he the owner?
Yeah, Finley. Well, Finley was the owner.
Yeah.
But he was very innovative. You know, even in Kansas City when we were there, he'd have family night and farmers night, and they'd take us in on the hay wagon and put Bloom and Autumn on the mule and walk him in. And I mean, he was a publicity person. You know, he that's the way he attracted people. But when we went out to Oakland, we didn't draw that well. You know, we just. We didn't have a lot of good players. You know, a lot of the good players were in double A.
It was starting to build, though, right? It was starting to build then.
The what?
That was the Oakland. Those were the Oakland. The infancy of the Oakland teams that were starting, that were going to be good in the early 70s, right?
Yep. Yeah. They once they brought those kids up, you know, they had Rudy, they had Mundy, they had Reggie. When those guys were, when they were breaking them in, that's when they became a good team. You know,
yep.
I mean, we had a decent team. You know, we had some players. We had Catfish and some pretty good pitching when we were in Kansas City, and then we moved out there, and you know, the team got better. You know, so and I got traded.
Well, you got left exposed to the expansion draft, right?
Yeah, I went from there to, 67, 68, and I went in this expansion to Seattle in 69. That was
now,
the truth.
Now, see, you just think about that. In like three or four years, you played in the last year of the Kansas City A's, the first year of the Oakland A's, the first year and only year of the Seattle Pilots.
Yeah. And I was in 69. I was with the Mets and when they won the pennant. Or won the World Series in 73 when they won the pennant. So
yeah.
I was lucky.
And you played with the Expos in Montreal.
I played with Montreal Expos up in Montreal. That was a fun time. I enjoyed Montreal. I really did. That was a beautiful city. And the fans were great. They didn't know baseball, which was a good thing. You know, they would clap on a fly ball, you know, when we first went up there.
Yep, that little park, that Jerry Park, was really cool.
Jerry Park was an open-air park. It was a fun park to go to, you know, and the fans were very close to the playing fields. I mean, very close. And I thoroughly enjoyed Montreal. I really did. I had a good time up there.
Now, you mentioned the Mets. You got traded to the Mets in 69, near the end of the year, right? Would you spend a year with the Mets?
Yep.
I
come up August 23rd or 24th. I was there till the end of the year.
And then you got left off the playoff roster, correct?
I what?
You got left off the playoff roster?
Yep. Me and about four other guys. And then that's the only thing that I missed, Jeff, is the ring. You know, I worked hard. I mean, I played in about 12 games defensively for them. And, you know, I saved about three or four games for them just defensively. They put me in for Cleon Jones. In fact, when we went back to an outing up in New York, a signing, Cleon comes up to me and he says, "Hey, can you still run?" I said, "Hell no." He said, "I used to love it because you'd come in and be my substitute. And you'd run for, you know, you'd take care of the outfield position." And I said, "Well, you know, Cleon," I said, "it was an enjoyable time." And Hodges was a great guy. You know, when I first come up there, he said, "I'm going to use strictly defensively. Is that okay?" I said, "Skip, that's fine. You know, as long as we're winning and everything, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that." So, I mean, he was a good man.
Did you go to the games? Did you hang around and go to the World Series?
No, I come back home. No, and you know, the ironic thing about it was, Jeff, after the season was over, when I found out they sent me $100 as my share, and I for Crane Pool sent it, and I said, I got the check, and I said, "This is stupid." So I signed the check, sent it back to him, and said, "Buy yourself a case of beer. If that's all you think I'm worth is $100, buy yourself a case of beer." Never heard a word back from him. And
that's weird.
You know, I photostatted the check. I had the photostatted check, and I said, "This is bull." Anyway, I contacted them afterwards. I said, "I'd like to purchase one of those rings." "Well, it's $3,500. I said, "No, never mind. I can't afford $3,500. You know, if you don't think enough to give me a ring for the time I was there, then keep your damn ring. I could care less."
Well, they brought you back to in 73, so they must have valued your services.
Yeah, 73. I was up there for 6 months in 73, and I got a full share then.
That's right.
I got a full share, which was like, I don't know, $15,000.
You got to see Willie Mays.
I played with Willie. You know, I got my son. I had my son was up there, and hell, he was only 5 years old. So I took him in and I said, "I want you to meet somebody." So he says, "Okay, Daddy." So I took him in and I introduced him to Willie. And Willie put him on his lap and took a picture. My son has got the picture. And I said, "That was class." But Willie was class. I mean, absolute class. I really love that man.
Yeah, he's still an ambassador to the game. He's a great ambassador to the game.
Oh, he was just fantastic, you know. And I mean, he never know that he's a superstar, and he never acted that way. And it was nuts, you know. I was with him in San Francisco when I was out there in spring training in, I don't know, 70, I guess. I went out spring training before I got traded to Montreal. But I had him, McCovey, and Marichal, and I mean, they were class people. You know, they just, I mean, I was lucky. I was lucky, Jeff. I mean, 13 great years, and I have so many great memories. And I just, I don't know, I just, it the time passed so fast, you know, but, you know, I did something that my dad wanted me to do or wished that I could do, and something I did for myself. You know, you can work 13 years at a job and love your job and get paid for it. There's nothing better than that.
Now, do you miss it now that, you know, with spring training's right around the corner? And
I do miss it. I always wanted to manage in the minor leagues. I didn't care about managing in the big leagues. And when I finished up, this guy that was the farm director, I held the name, Joe McDonald, he told me at the end, when they released me in 74, he says, I want you, would you be interested in being the batting coach in Norfolk, Virginia, AAA ball? And I love Norfolk. I said, yeah, I'd like that very much. He says, okay, I'll give you a call. That was in 1974. It's now 2020, and that phone hasn't rang yet.
You're still waiting for the call.
No, you know, and I got one job, one opportunity to manage. They called me, somebody down in Texas called, would you be interested in managing our team down here? And I don't know whether it's Amarillo, one somewhere down there. And I said, he said, it's a rookie league team. I says, well, I said, let me ask you a couple of questions. I said, first, how long is your how do you travel? He says, well, we go by bus. I says, okay, how many hours the longest travel? He said, 12 hours.
Three.
And I says, how long is the shortest travel? He says, 8 hours. I said, well, I appreciate the offer, but no. You know, I don't want to ride a bus for 8 hours for the first, you know, for one game or for one series, and then drive all the way back. You know, that's the only opportunity I had. But I always wanted to coach. I always wanted to work with kids.
Yeah.
And I had a JV. A guy offered, wanted me to come up and coach his JV team, high school team. So I went up there, up north of here, about 15 miles, and I started out coaching and having a lot of fun with the kids. I mean, it was like me starting all over again, you know, working with young kids. And this varsity coach, just a young kid, but a real wise guy, he comes over to the house. He says, this is the way I want to run the program. I said, listen, you run the program any way you want. I'm going to teach the kids how to play, and I'm going to teach the kids, you know, to enjoy the game. And then when they get to you, you can do whatever you want with them. Well, it come to pass that he called me this one day, and he said, I want your kids in here for batting practice. But my kids don't practice on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I said, that's where they want to be with their parents. I said, we have doubleheaders twice a week. And I said, that's enough. And he says, well, he says, I'll get your coach to come. And I says, no, you're not going to do that. Well, I talked to the athletic director, and I said, listen, I said, you get him off my back. I said, you him run his own program, I'll run mine. He says, well, he says, this is my first year, you're going to have thoughts on him. I said, no, I'm done. He says, you can't quit. I said, listen, Rick, I forgot more than this little clown will ever know about baseball. And I said, I don't need his added crap that he wants to tell me about how to run the game. I said, forget it. So I quit.
Well, that's too bad. I mean, you were doing it for the kids, and you were doing it.
Oh, and I enjoyed it so much. I had the kids come up to me. They were calling my house, please come back, Mr. Goster. I said, no, I'm not coming back with that environment. Come to find out, a year later, they fired the varsity coach, got rid of him. So
yes,
I guess it worked out. But okay. I really enjoyed that. Yes, you know, I enjoyed working with kids.
Well, we're speaking with Mr. Jim Gosker. He is veteran of 13 years in the major leagues. We just talked, spoke about his career. He's had a fantastic, career in terms of touching greats of the game, like Ted Williams and Satchel Paige. And Mr. Gosker, is there anybody that you, you really had feasted on as a hitter that you said, oh, this guy's on the mound today. I'm going to get a couple knocks.
There was the one that thing that stuck out of my mind is we were playing in Boston and this kid from California was pitching. He came in and pitched in the late innings, and I hit a home run off of him to end the game. And I felt so sorry for the kid because they sent him out right after the game. I batted off McLean. McLean, I probably owned McLean when he was with Detroit, and he would get so mad at me. He would scream at me. I'd get a base hit off him. How can you hit that? I said, you keep throwing that fastball. I says, I'm going to wear you out.
That's funny.
And we're good friends. You know, we talk about this all the time. And Duke Sims, I don't know if you remember Duke Sims,
yep.
The catcher.
Sure.
We're playing in Cleveland, and the big left-hander's pitching McDowell. And I come up to the plate, and I told Duke, I said, Duke, just have him throw it over. I said, I'm not going to swing. He throws too hard. The first pitch, he throws me a curveball, strike one. So then he throws me a knuckleball. I looked at Duke. I said, what is he doing? And Duke is laughing. She said, Jimmy, what do you want? I said, give me a fastball about belt high, please, one time. I said, okay. I got a base hit. McDowell is screaming at me. Duke walks out to the mound. He says, what's the matter with you? He says, how come that little hit me like that, hit that pitch? He says, because I told him it was coming. And Duke and I talk about that all the time. You know? And McDowell, he's on my Facebook. I talk to him all the time. He says, you little so-and-so. He says, you knew it was coming, didn't you? And I said, yeah, because Duke told me.
That's funny.
Go ahead.
Did you get in on a playoff game or a World Series game in 73 when you were with the Mets?
Did I get into what?
Playoff game or the World Series when came?
No. No. What they did in 73, Yogi come up to me and said, Jimmy, we're gonna take an extra pitcher along. And I said, that's fine, Yogi. You know, I said, good luck, you know. I mean, he was very forthcoming about it and told me, he said, we just went extra pitcher. And I said, okay, that's cool. No problem.
That's too bad. Now I know we talk collectibles and autographs. I know you do a bunch of autograph shows recently. Do you get a lot of requests through the mail for people that wanting to sign cards or
I'll bet you, Jeff, I get at least 10-15 cards a week. And I love signing for these people, you know, because you know my dad told me a long time ago, he says, when you're playing ball, he says, remember those people. They're the ones that got you here. They're the ones that are behind you. Never, ever not sign an autograph. And it's always been my theory, and I always thank the people when they send me cards. Thank you for asking, and sign it for them. I enjoy that. I enjoy this very much because it keeps me human, keeps me in the limelight. You know, you look at these cards and Sam, there's one card on my Facebook now that I wish I could find. It's a Montreal card, and I had put out a little notice to anybody on my Facebook, if you find that card, please send me a copy of it.
Why don't you give out your Facebook address? People can go check it out. Maybe one of my listeners has the card.
Yeah, if you're ever out in one of these card shows and see it, please get it for me. I'll pay you for it because that's one card that I don't have. I have my rookie card. I have the Boston card. I have the Montreal, the Kansas City, Seattle. I got all those cards. I just don't have the one Montreal card. There was two or three of them from Montreal, but this one is really the one with my picture on it now that I put up just out of the clear blue. A guy had sent it out and said, Jimmy might not have his card. And I said, no, but I did. Somebody must have sent it to me because I had signed my autograph on it.
Okay. Do you have any memorabilia from from your playing days? Do you have?
I had a New York Met jacket. The last in 73 after this, or 69 after the season was over with, I had asked the clubhouse man, "You mind if I keep this coat?" He says, "No, Jim, take it." So I had kept that, and then some guy had contacted me, and he said, "Jim, you have any memorabilia?" He says, "I have a New York Met jacket." He says, "Can I purchase it?" And I said, "Come and get it." I said, "I'll sign it for you," but I said, "It's a heavy coat. I don't need it. I probably should have kept it." I have a Red Sox, my last Red Sox uniform. I have that. And but that's all I have, you know.
Nothing from your days in the with the Pilots
No, I don't. I have a Seattle hat. That's all. But I don't. No, I don't. I didn't get any memo. I should probably took some of the stuff from when we were in Seattle because I really liked their uniform. The uniform was beautiful.
I agree.
That white uniform.
Question to you: When you were playing, right? You're a young guy. Did you ever go into a drugstore or a supermarket or whatever and, you know, pick up a couple packs of cards to say, "Hey, maybe I can see if I can get my own card"?
No, I never did that.
See, I would have bought boxes of them trying to get my card.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of excited about going up to the Phil's place if he gets it set up in April. I'm kind of looking forward to going up and seeing the place. You know, maybe I'll get a chance to go to the park and if he wants to take a ride over the park. I just like to see it. That's all. It's been a while.
When you come to Boston, I will certainly stop by and introduce myself personally.
Oh, I will. Yeah, I will let you know. You know, I'll give you a shout and let you know. Like I said, we talked here a couple weeks ago, and he said, "Jim, we're talking about April 19th. Is that okay with you?" I said, "Bill, I don't go anywhere." I said, "That's fine. You know, whichever's convenient for you." He says, "Well, we're going to get it set up." I said, "Okay."
All right. Well, I will definitely come up and introduce myself.
I'd love to have you come. Yeah.
It's a pleasure speaking with you. Is there anything we didn't discuss or broach all in our call today that you'd like to mention? Did I leave anything off the table?
No, just want to stay warm here. It's been a good day.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure talking with you. You know, it was great. Now, Sean Ahern hooked us up, and I thank Sean for matching us up together. It was a pleasure speaking with you. I hope we can talk again in the future. And as I said, I'll definitely meet up with you when you come to Boston. And
great.
Maybe we can even grab a beer.
I'm all for that.
All right.
All right, my friend. Listen, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker. I've been your host for the program. I want to apologize. I start getting gabby and talking, and these interviews keep getting longer and longer, but it's hard to not talk about baseball and TTM with people that you meet, and they're so interesting. So hopefully you enjoyed our interview with Mr. Jim Gosker. Jim, I want to thank you for joining the program. I also want to thank Sean for bringing us together, Sean Ahern for bringing us together. Our next show will be next week, March 1st. I have a fantastic show lined up. We got two interviews we'll play on next week's show. So I got a surprise for you guys next week. And I want to thank everyone for hanging in there as always. And as always, wishing you many happy returns.